to evacuate the town. Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to Neil Grayston, who plays Fargo on the sci-fi hit Eureka. Stick around and be ready to evacuate the town on a moment's notice. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is the Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. Stop by and check it out. There are more than 900 archived celebrity and pop culture interviews for your listening pleasure. The show is brought to you today by Audible. Audible is offering Mr. Media listeners a free audiobook download and a 14-day trial offer to give you a chance to check out their very cool service. I love listening to books on tape. If you've never tried it before, actors or sometimes the authors themselves read to you. It's great for the commute, the beach, or even unwinding before bed. You can choose a free audiobook from Audible's enormous library of sci-fi and fantasy titles, including Where's My Jetpack by Daniel H. Wilson, the greatest science fiction stories of the 20th century, and The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, written by Michael Chabon. Here's an excerpt from The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, read by David Kalachi.
In a Zharkov's laboratory on the kitchen table, he had invented almost functional button reattachers, tandem bottle openers, and heatless clothes irons. In more recent years, Sammy's commercial attention had been arrested by the field of professional illustration. The great commercial illustrators and cartoonists, Rockwell, Leyendecker, Raymond, Caniff, were at their zenith, and there was a general impression abroad that, at the drawing board, a man could not only make a good living, but alter the very texture and tone of the national mood. In Sammy's closet were stacked dozens of pads of coarse newsprint, filled with horses, Indians, football heroes, sentient apes, fawkers, nymphs, moon rockets, buckaroos, saracens, tropic jungles, grizzlies, studies of the folds in women's clothing, the dents in men's hats, the lights in human irises, clouds in the western sky. His grasp of perspective was tenuous, his knowledge of human anatomy dubious, his line off.
You could also download Will Eisner's Spirited Life, which I wrote and will read to you personally. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. Mr. Media is recorded live before a studio audience of Eureka fans whose favorite part of the show is when someone on the show rolls their eyes and says, "Fargo!" In the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Douglas Fargo is a classic television character. At once deceptively innocent and brilliant, he's also capable of causing the kind of naive mischief that may one day cause the secret government town of Eureka to be wiped off the map in a giant matter-antimatter implosion. Just to play it safe, I'll be interviewing the actor who plays Fargo today, Neil Grayston, and not the character himself. Too many things go wrong when that guy's around. Now, Grayston, I believe, is a guy who recognized a wonderful opportunity in the role of Fargo and capitalized upon it. He's grown a character whose initial purpose seemed little more than second banana antics and shenanigans, and given him heart and self-respect in a relatively short period of time. And thanks to the Sci-Fi Network show's recent disruption of the time-space continuum, Grayston is now playing Fargo 2.0. Instead of being a flaky young scientist at Global Dynamics, he's now the head of GD. He's even had a love life, including a crossover fling with tech whiz Claudia Donovan of Warehouse 13. Of course, Grayston is still giving voice to a second character on Eureka, which returns for its season 4.5 premiere on Monday, July 11th at 8 p.m. He's the computer-altered female personality of Sheriff Carter's underground bunker, Sarah. And incidentally, you can follow both Sarah and Neil Grayston on Twitter. Now, you may have previously seen Grayston on Wonderfalls, Smallville, The Dead Zone, and Supernatural. Neil Grayston, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks for having me.
Delighted to have you here. I told you before, we're big fans of the show here, so this is a nice treat for us. So thank
awesome.
You. Thank you. Now, I know I'm a little late with this, but congratulations on Fargo's big promotion at Global Dynamics.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank the writers for that one.
Now, what was your reaction on either hearing about or reading in the script how Fargo was going to change following the time travel storyline?
Well, basically what happened is I went down to L.A. and went to the writer's room for basically the first time. And they all kind of got together and sat me down and told me about the whole timeline change and everything. But I figured it was just going to be a sort of three-episode arc, and then everything would get reset, and then it was fine. And then, so when they told me that it was just going to stay, I did a weird little happy dance thing. I think it involved some sort of like, yeah, and stuff like that. I don't really recall. I just know that I was pretty mind blown that they would actually go so far as to make such a huge and radical shift. So I was excited. Like, I think everyone else in the cast as well was also just amazingly excited by everything that was going on with that time shift. And yeah.
What do you think prompted that? Because you're right. I mean, we thought the same thing watching it. And, of course, by the time we saw it, you already knew how it was going to wind up. But watching it, we thought, okay, so this is clever and this is fun, you know. But, you know, it's 3, 4, or 5 episodes at most. But then they stuck with it. Now, do you have a sense from behind the scenes of what prompted the big change and then the decision to, you know, stick it out?
Yeah, you know, I'm not too sure exactly. Like, I know it was an idea. I think it might have started as an idea of how to clean up sort of all the loose ends of the show, but make it in a way that wasn't just sort of a cop-out, you know, it was all a dream type scenario. So I guess, you know, bringing a few characters in, still keeping that old universe within them, but then being able to clean everything up and sort of start anew, I think might have been the driving force behind it, but I don't know because I'm not in the writer's room, so that's my theory.
It's a real, unique thing in the for people who have a history of watching science fiction or fantasy type shows. You know, there's always that timeline thing. It's just, you know, we can go back to even the first Superman movie, I guess, where he, you know, makes the earth.
He makes the world.
Go back around. It's, you know.
Wonderful physics there.
I mean, you know, I'm sure someone at Global Dynamics could explain that and make perfect sense of that to us. But, yeah, it was so weird that they stuck to that. And it's been such a wonderful device for you and Niall Mader, who we had on last night, and the young man who plays Allison's son.
Yeah. Trevor Jackson, yeah.
I guess it really had its pluses. Does it continue? Now, I know that you're as we're talking, you're shooting season 5 now. Has reflecting back to that, I know you can't tell me much, but has through season 4.5 and then into 5, has references to that time travel thing, have that gone away and people, we've just accepted, the characters just accepted, this is the time that they live in?
I mean, there's little callbacks to it, stuff like that, but we're definitely on a new trajectory now. It's set that this is the timeline that we live in now. That's that. But I mean, we're only halfway through filming season 5, so I can't tell you if something might happen later on. But as far as I know, we're sticking with it, which I think is cool, because it would almost be really, really difficult now to go back to the original one, because it would sort of be like, oh no, now these last two seasons that we've just done, we're basically not really for anything maybe, but we've got like amazing things coming up.
Maybe there could be could bring back one of the Stargates and do a crossover with an episode of Stargate and then never mind.
Yeah, that would be fun. I like the Stargate people, they're nice.
Niall was a Stargate person, I think, briefly, wasn't he?
I think he was, yeah. I think I'm about the only Vancouver actor who was never on Stargate. So I'm pretty sure Niall was. I think Erica might have been. I know she was on Battlestar. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Now, how did this whole change, very abrupt change, affect the way that you play Fargo? Because you've gone from being the kind of the young kid, the bright scientist, the young kid who screwed up a lot, to suddenly, I mean, you're in charge. It still boggles my mind to say that.
Yeah, it's a frightening thing. Well, it boggles my mind considering I was only contracted to be in 7 episodes originally, and only like it was sort of said to be maybe 2 scenes an episode. I would kind of come in, get some information, and leave. And then, to just all of a sudden, 5 years later, my character is running the company that he was the assistant to someone on. That, it's been really fun. It's been cool to make or to play him as someone who has to grow and has to deal with consequences, and also has to deal with the possibility that there might be consequences if you push that button. So maybe don't push the button right now.
I was just thinking as you were saying that, I didn't realize that you were only contracted for such a short run at the beginning, although I kind of sensed that in the introduction to the show, that it seemed like you were there for a very different purpose at the beginning than you were as the show developed.
Yeah, well, the original, the character description for the audition was Douglas Fargo, Warren King's nebbish assistant. That was it. There was nothing else. Like, he was just sort of, I know that they had written him as kind of a Smithers-like character from The Simpsons. Mm-hmm. And beyond that, there just wasn't that much there. So it kind of was awesome for me because I had a big, big empty blank canvas to paint with, so to speak. And I guess they liked what I did because they kept on bringing me back for some reason.
Well, apparently. And then they later created the character of Larry, who started doing the kinds of things that Fargo used to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And Larry is awesome. Chris Chico, who plays him, is actually one of my best friends. And we met because of him being on the show. So it was one of those like, yeah, all right.
You get some extra value from being on the TV show.
Yeah.
And did Neil Grayston get a pay raise commensurate with Fargo's?
It was contracted. Everyone gets a little bit of a raise every year. So,
They took care of you.
Yeah, yeah. I love working for the Sci-Fi Channel. They're just such a great group of people. It's really cool.
Well, it seems like they have a great loyalty too. In that, if Eureka was to end, you have a sense from their history that they would find a place for a lot of you guys on other sci-fi shows because they seem to. It's like the old days of the studio system where, we keep people under contract and we keep them busy within our network.
Yeah, I mean they're. I think, because it is, quite a small network. It's, I guess, like deeper cable, but it's managed to be very successful for what it is. And I think that they just have a knack for hiring really good people, too. Like, the people who run it are all really nice, and they're despite it being a crazy sci-fi network, they're all really down-to-earth and really cool. And I think they sort of seek that out when they hire people as well. And that's why you'll see a lot of the same people coming on again and again, is because those people have proven to be really awesome people and great workers and really professional. And it's just sort of, it's like a little family. It's always cool, like going to Comic-Con this year. I'm excited because I get to see everyone that I kind of get to see every year that, I don't live anywhere near them, but we all get to sort of come together at Comic-Con and, say hi and catch up. So it'll be sweet.
As we're recording this, Comic-Con is still, I think, about a week out, week to 10 days out.
I think, yeah, it's the, what day is today? Today is the 5th?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, I fly out on the 21st.
Okay,
so
a couple weeks yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have a sense of what Eureka will be bringing to Comic-Con this year in terms of the presentation and stars?
I don't know exactly. Nothing's really set in stone yet. I have heard hints of a cool little surprise, but I don't know what that is. I don't even know who's moderating our panel. I think all of that will come within a week or so. I think we'll hear everything. I know we do have a screening, I think, the Friday night of the episode that's going to air the following Monday. There's definitely that. And I don't know if I can say it, but I'm going to anyway, but I'm going to be moderating the Warehouse 13 panel as well. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
And that might have something to do with reappearing.
Yeah, Yep, I went over to the warehouse again this year, which was super fun. It was odd because we weren't filming Eureka at the time, so it was my first time since October playing Fargo again, but it was on a different show. So I was like, oh, this is an odd warm-up, but it's cool. It's a pretty insane episode. If you look at the previews, you can see at points I'm dressed like a wizard.
It should be fun. The first round of crossovers was terrific. And
yeah, it was great fun.
Yeah, I'm hoping that that Haven turns out to be in the same universe that the rest of you guys are in, because that could make some really cool, like sending a couple of you guys from each of your shows, from Warehouse and Eureka, to Haven to try to explain what in the world is going on in that place.
Yeah, exactly.
One of the other things I mentioned in the opening is that it's become kind of a tradition that at some point during the show, someone shouts out your character's name, and not necessarily in a happy, pleasant way.
Yeah.
Do you remember at what point it became, you started realizing, hey, they're doing that all the time. That's almost like it's Fargo. Fargo?
Yeah, Fargo.
It's almost like a catchphrase.
Yeah. You know, it would have to be some point mid-season one, I think. Or like, yeah, wow, it just kind of snuck up on me now that I think about it. Because I guess, yeah, because they just kept on throwing me in the episodes. And then, I mean, I can remember Carter, like Colin Ferguson. I can remember him yelling it. That's kind of my first memory, but I can't tell you when exactly that was. But I know it is awesome.
I was thinking in my mind, because I couldn't go back and like watch every episode leading up to today. I hate to admit that, but I've watched every episode, but I couldn't rewatch.
Watch all like 45?
No, but in my mind, I was thinking that it was Carter who was the one who was saying it on and on, because it was always Carter who would have to come in and clean up whatever Fargo caused.
Yeah.
So he kind of got used to saying that.
And, you know, there was some points, too. I do remember, what episode was it? It's the episode where there's, like, the nanites, the army of Starks.
Right.
And I think that's the same is that the same episode where a wolf eats another person? Either way, there was one I remember where it was like, everyone was like, oh, so it was Fargo's fault. But it totally wasn't. It was Taggart's fault in that one episode. But he blamed it on Fargo. And everyone else still was like, yeah, it's Fargo's fault. And I was like, oh, man. This guy gets no respect.
Well, you know what? Before we go to break, I gotta ask: Do we see Taggart again?
Well, there was the Christmas episode
right.
that we did. My hopes. Why did he come out? That was right. He came out to do looping for the Christmas episode. I mean, he might come back this year or for season 5. I'm not too sure.
Okay.
I would love that because he is such a blast.
Oh. He's fun, and he's there too. You've got someone who comes in and disrupts, and it's just bedlam always when he shows up. That's cool. Well, let's take a quick break. This is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with actor Neil Grayston, who plays Douglas Fargo on the sci-fi hit Eureka, which returns Mondays all summer at 8 p.m. And we'll be right back. Hey folks, you can hear Mr. Media while on the go now with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone, whether you use an iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, BlackBerry Curve, or Palm Pre. And when you download Stitcher to hear Mr. Media today, you have a chance to win some real money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in your smartphone's app store. Download it, it's free, takes seconds. Then, during registration, hit the promo code box and enter Mr. Media, that's MR Media, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episode of Mr. Media will be waiting for you in Stitcher's favorites right on your phone. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too, always available to you on demand, no syncing. Some of my favorites include WTF with Marc Maron, Plus One Per Diem with Kevin Smith, and The Nerdist with Chris Hardwick. It's all free and all instant to you on Stitcher Smart Radio. And don't forget to win the money. Enter promo code Mr. Media, MR Media, when you register. And thanks for listening.
Hello, this is novelist Michael Connelly, and you're listening to Mr. Media.
Bob Adelman, and you're listening to and hopefully watching the Mr. Media interview with actor Neil Grayston, who plays Douglas Fargo on the sci-fi original series Eureka, which airs every Monday night this summer at 8 p.m. Now, in this segment, besides my own questions for Neil, I have a special guest fan interrogator, my daughter Rachel, who has seen every episode of Eureka many more times than I care to say, thanks to Netflix online screening. And I'm going to bring Rachel in right now. Neil, this is Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
Ooh, can you see my hand? Go. Hey, Rachel. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay. If you could pick any character from any other TV show to cross over to Eureka, other than Claudia from Warehouse, who would it be and why?
Oh, geez. You know, I think maybe Eli from Stargate Universe, because David Blue is a really good friend of mine, and I think that we could play off each other quite well. We both got the sort of nerdy guy thing going on with a little bit of the constantly causing problems. I think that would be a good one. Other than that, I think someone from Firefly, but let's just sort of pick whoever, because I love that show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Goodness. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, you're a good and gracious man, Neil.
No problem.
All right, just get
awesome. That's so cool that you guys have Eureka on Netflix down there. I don't think we do up in Canada yet.
Oh, it's if on. Yeah, you can get it on the streaming. And so she actually moved the box into her room. And I swear to you, you know, like she was out sick a couple of times during the school year, and it was like wall to wall Eureka.
Oh wow, that's awesome!
I kid you not. And I was telling Niall last night to make her entire year, she was in the Dallas airport in over Christmas, and she was coming home from Colorado. And I don't know if it was – I think it was on a moving walkway or something, but Jordan Henson went by her going the other way.
Oh, no way.
Like, oh, my God. How could – and so we all did a little checking, and Jordan was on Twitter that day complaining about what an awful day she was having, and she was stuck in the Dallas airport. So Rachel sent her a note and said, hey, I saw you, but I didn't want to say anything. Oh, Jordan was like, oh, you should have said something. I was having such a miserable day. That would have helped me.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh, that's
so
funny.
It was very sweet. It was very nice.
Yeah, Jordan's great. Yeah, she's from Texas, too, so she's probably on her way from the small town in Texas that she's from trying to get to somewhere or going to that small town.
Interesting. I didn't know she was from there.
Yeah.
Well, all right, so we'll come back in. Let me get back in the Mr. Media character.
All right.
thank you, Rachel. And, you know, speaking of characters, Neil, I wanted to ask you, who would be a great Eureka character to kind of break out from the chorus line next?
Oh, you know who I've always wanted to see something more happen with is Vincent. Chris Gauthier is an amazing actor. Like, he is so solid. And we realize he doesn't have a last name. Vincent is, like, the only character who's been on since the pilot, who does not have a last name. We don't know what his house looks like. We really don't know anything about him. So, wow, that sounded really Canadian. I think I said a boot. either way, no, I would absolutely, absolutely love to see a Vincent episode or to see Vincent go on to other shows, you know, cater to the alphas or something like that. Like, I think it would be cool.
I that's actually who I was expecting that you were going to say. I was thinking Vincent also, because I'd like an explanation of how that kitchen works.
Yeah, well, I think actually we do have a little bit of explanation. Like if you look through the episodes, they explain little elements of it all over.
Here and a little there.
But also, if you look at it, every season it's the set itself is slightly different, and it's slightly bigger, and the back is a little bit different. Yeah, so I don't know. I would love that kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love that kitchen. I'd like to have Vincent to
prepare the thing.
Yeah, I think that would be very cool. Speaking of characters, again, there are some very interesting guest stars coming up in season 4.5, I understand. Felicia Day, Stan Lee, right?
Yep, Stan Lee. Will Wheaton is back. We've got Ming Na from Stargate. Dave Foley comes in for an episode. From Kids in the Hall and News Radio and all that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a pretty awesome lineup. Although Felicia Day and Will Wheaton actually don't seem like guest stars in it. They just seem more like full-fledged cast members. Same thing with Ming-Na. She's in a lot of episodes as well.
I didn't realize that. And you, from the preview that I have seen of 4.5, you do interact with Felicia Day.
Yes, yeah. There's actually a lot of myself, Felicia Day, and Will Wheaton. There's a little bit of a triangle involved, yeah.
And what is it with Wheaton? You know, he's also on Big Bang Theory as a recurring character now. He seems to incite this highly competitive behavior.
Well, I think it's because he's such a nice guy in person, and he's so generous and so giving, so that I've found that the nicest people are also the best at playing jerks, because you know they're always the ones who are around observing these jerks.
Mm-hmm.
And they're never actually
one of them,
so yeah. So I don't know, and it's just so fun to play against that. I mean, he's another one we just clicked right away, so it was just fun playing enemies. Because we liked each other so much, it was just like, oh, yeah, all right, so let's be jerks to each other. This is going to be fun. It was like, oh, that was really jerky what you just did. Awesome.
I would like to say, I don't know what answer. I wasn't able to listen while you and Rachel were talking, and she was asking you about crossover characters. I would love to see, before Eureka comes to an end, before this other show comes to an end, to see a crossover between Eureka and Chuck. It would just seem like a real natural connection.
You know, that's the weirdest thing. I have never seen Chuck. I don't know what it is about, like, cause that's one where he's a secret agent, or he was like a guy who sort of worked in, like, the Geek Squad at Best Buy, I'm just going to say, and he accidentally uncovered a bunch of secret information and got employed by the CIA or FBI.
Well, he accidentally, or later we find out it may not have been accidentally, he had downloaded into his brain all of the CIA's secrets and knowledge. And then over time, not only does he have all this knowledge, he's the, not the Nexus, the Intersect is what he's called. The Intersect of all knowledge is in his head. And then at one point they did an Intersect 2.0 where he not only had the knowledge, but he had the physical skills to fight like James Bond. And
okay.
You know, and I always thought that because he works for this shadowy government agency, part of the CIA, I guess, that what a perfect, you know, perfect group to cross over because of all the knowledge he has, where to go to get more knowledge or get an upgrade on his system than Global Dynamics.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, that's a... That sounds like a fantastic idea. If only we were on the same network.
Yeah, well,
do you know what network Chuck is, actually?
NBC, that's why.
Oh, it is? Oh.
Yeah, I keep thinking it would seem doable, you know?
Yeah.
So
that'd be cool. That'd be very cool.
All right. Well, so what else is ahead for Fargo in season 4.5 before we start to wind down here?
Well, there's, shenanigans aplenty. It's Fargo. That just happens. Fargo and Zane, actually, have a lot of really cool stuff this season, which has been really fun for me and for Niall. This season seems more linear compared to other ones. We have a very sort of like, we start out and we have a goal that we try to accomplish throughout the entire season that sort of pulls the entire town together. And yeah, it's really cool. It's really ambitious. It's funny trying to think back now that we're halfway through filming season 5. It's like, what did I do last year when we were filming it? I know that it all kind of seemed like a blur. There's a point where I'm stuck in a tree, like about 70 feet up. There's a point, I do believe, where I fly through the air after being shocked by something. I'm picking and choosing my memories of things that I remember. Yeah, there's the whole triangle with Felicia and Will. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it's a really, really fun season. I've seen the first 2 episodes, and I enjoyed them immensely. And the second episode didn't even have the effects in it or anything, but I was still like, we're making really cool TV. This is awesome. Like, I'm really proud of it this year.
I wonder how many times Fargo has been stuck in the air or against ceilings or, you know, you've done a couple of interesting stunts that way.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I don't think I've had to do any wire work this year. That's interesting. That will have to be remedied. Because, yeah, I feel like I almost have my stunt guy ticket where, I've done a lot of it. I did just film a scene a few weeks ago where part of me was on fire, and it was actual fire, which that was really pretty cool. I can't tell you what happened.
What part, yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, you have to wait like a year to see that. I love the fact that, you know, Fargo's kind of sometimes the whipping boy, because some of those stunts are really fun.
Well, you mentioned being stuck in a tree, and I was thinking about the camping trip from the beginning of season 4 where you wind up wrapped up in a tent rolling downhill.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah, that was, forgot about that. Yeah, that was fun. That was a cold few nights. We filmed that up in literally the middle of nowhere. Mm. In a forest that is, like, Vancouver's already rainy, and this place is the rainiest spot in Vancouver. It's actually a rainforest. And we filmed that at night mostly, and did a lot of running around too. So I had a good workout those couple days. It's a lot of running uphill.
Yeah. All right, so last question. What's ahead for you as an actor in between Eureka? What have you been working in between seasons? Do you have anything ahead outside of Eureka we should look forward to?
Well, yeah, I produced a movie last year that's still being edited, because everyone who kind of worked on it also has other jobs in between. So that we're aiming for a September final cut, pre-final cut. So that will be at some point. I did a little web series, sort of. There was only 2 episodes made so far, called True Heroines, which was it's about a bunch of housewives in the 1950s who have superpowers, and they have to hide it from everyone. And that was that's a really cool, fun little thing. I'm still waiting to see that one. I'm just gonna, you know, I'm usually filming when everything else is filming, so I don't actually have a lot of time to do anything else. And I mean, I can't really plan anything while Eureka's on, because we don't know. So there's those 2 things that will be coming. And obviously I did that Warehouse 13. And then the rest of the time, I think I just relaxed and traveled, which was cool.
That would be good. That'd be good. Well, let me give you an open invitation. If you want to come back on to talk about the movie you produced or the True Heroines when it's unleashed, give you an open invitation.
Awesome.
To come back anytime and talk about that stuff. That'd be great.
Cool. I'd love to.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, folks, listen, you can watch the season 4.5 premiere of Eureka on Sci-Fi on Monday, July 11th at 8 p.m. And the show, of course, continues every Monday throughout the summer. And you can also buy the just-released DVD of the first half of season 4 at a great price at MrMedia.com. Do you want to let people know if they can follow you on Twitter or find a website or Facebook, any of that kind of stuff?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Follow me on – I still have yet to make my proper Facebook account, so follow me on Twitter at Neil Grayston, NEILGRAYSTON.
Very good. And, Neil, thank you so much for joining us on Mr. Media today.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure indeed. And folks, for more original interviews with America's and Canada's top actors and actresses, you can surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com. If you've enjoyed today's show, subscribe for free to Mr. Media via email, RSS, or iTunes, and you'll never miss a show. You can also download our new free Mr. Media mobile app in the Android market. And, of course, before I forget, you can listen to the show with a piece of string and a tin can in many parts of Eureka. Show your support of Mr. Media by supporting our sponsors, including Audible. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/radio. Again, that's audibletrial.com/radio for your free audiobook. If you've got an idea for a guest, a comment on today's show, or would like to advertise on Mr. Media, email me directly at bob@mrmedia.com. You can also call our 24-hour listener line at 1-727-498-4711. Now, unless you live next door to Mr. Media, chances are that's a toll call. And you can follow Mr. Media on Facebook, on Twitter, or our new YouTube video channel. Thanks so much for joining us today. Always appreciate you giving up a piece of your day and spending it with Mr. Media. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. See you next time, everybody. Hey, folks. You can hear Mr. Media while on the go now with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile app available for your smartphone, whether you use an iPhone, iPod Touch, Android, BlackBerry Curve, or Palm Pre. And when you download Stitcher to hear Mr. Media today, you have a chance to win some real money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in your smartphone.